talking about where people don't dance, all they do is this. And after the original, you know what it is.
Hey, good morning, y'all. This is Tanola Oliver. I am the host of the Making of a Mogul radio show. And today we're going to talk about the economic recovery of the United States. And I just want to provide some historical relevance, and then we'll bring it up to date with today's industries and what the economic recovery looks like in the United States today. And then I'm going to talk about two of my exhibitions that I'm currently working on. So this conversation will take place really in about 25 minutes. So I want to talk about the economic recovery after the Great Recession. We'll start there. What industry actually was a catalyst for helping the United States recover from the Great Recession? And that would have been the automotive industry. And so I think the last episode that I put together for the radio show, we talked about starting as a farming industry, and we progressed into an industrial industry for automotive, automation, things of that nature. And so while I understand that the automotive industry is part of industrialization, it is still part of its own entity, because industrialization in its infancy really was, the purpose of it was machinery to improve the farming industry, right? It wasn't necessarily the purpose was not necessarily automobiles. It was to automate and to make the occupation of farming easier, so that everything did not have to be cultivated manually by hand, right? So the industrialization industry, or the industrialization of the economy, was more about cultivating the farming industry into automation, right? And making farmers the ability to produce more in a less amount of time, and to improve their lifespan, right? Because farming was a difficult industry. And so as we talk about the Great Recession, the reason why the automotive industry was very paramount as a recovery stage from the Great Recession is because it begin to expand the automotive industry from not just building automobiles, but building automobiles as a luxury, right? And improving the style, improving the make and the models of automobiles. And so the three industries that were very important after the Great Recession and helping the economy to recover was, so General Motors was leading the pack, right? General Motors was leading the pack. And what is amazing about General Motors is that they cut their prices as much as 70% on the top of its top of the range cars, right? So it cut its prices as much as 70%, right? So imagine that, right? And I'm gonna bring it up to date as we talk about recovery today, because one of the most expensive purchases that you can make right now is an automobile in comparison, very much in comparison to the housing market. Like, this is the first time historically in the United States that you can pay just as much for an automobile that you can pay for housing, right? And that is a complete and total imbalance, right? And so, how did General Motors help the economy to recover in a number of ways? Not only did it cut its prices by 70% to make the automobile more affordable for the general public, but to cut the prices by 70% and making their automobile more affordable, that increased demand, right? So when we talk about the demand of an industry or the demand of a product, the reason why General Motors was able to expand and how they experienced exponential growth was because somehow they found a way at the executive level to tap into the market of supply and demand, right? By cutting the price of their automobiles by 70%. So, as we know, the other two automobile leaders at that particular time was Ford and Chrysler. And so most of us that follow the automotive industry, Ford was struggling during this particular time period because they could not keep up with the expansion of General Motors. And so it was losing sales and market share because it could not find a way to reduce the cost, right, of its automobile. And so it struggled a little. The additional leading automobile brand at that time was Chrysler. So the way that it was able to create a niche in the market as well was improving its efficiency on the product lines, right? Production lines. And so that's how Chrysler was able to stay competitive with the production of GM products. And so they invested and had the ability to invest a considerable amount of time and money into research and development, right? And so why at that time they were not the leading automotive brand, those that follow the automotive industry noticed that Chrysler began to catch up with the popularity and the production of GM. And what was that reason? Is because they spent a substantial amount of time and energy into sharpening their axe, right? Spending money in research and development, where GM was able to become a strong competitor or proponent in the market because at an executive level, they were able to cut price immediately, right? And cut costs about 70%, which meant that they recognized that they were highly overpriced, right? And so today I want to talk about an industry that really is missing in history books as it relates to the recovery of the economics of the United States of America. I don't know if most people realize it now, but when we talk about like the top five industries of the United States and the economic stability, sustainability, formability is retail. Retail has a strong economic strategy in the functionality or the food chain of the United States, right? One of the reasons why retail has increased in such a way is because of the industry that has not really received its just due as it pertains to its contributing ability to push the industry and push the economics of the United States. So while we have sports, right, football, basketball, that has produced a number of millionaires, in comparison, when we look at overall the industries, the parallelism is somewhat, the ratio is not there enough for it to be a target for aspirations professionally, right? Like most parents, if they have a teenager that has an interest in professional sports, most parents will say that you want to have an additional plan just in case you don't make it, right? One of the industries that has produced its largest number of millionaires in the United States and is responsible for it's somewhere upwards of $40 billion in the economic tree, as we talk about sustainability in the United States, is the hip hop industry. And while I've been attempting to do some research, nowhere have I been able to find that history records hip hop as an industry that largely supports the US economy. So when we talk about television, when we talk about movies, when we talk about retail, when we talk about the automotive industry, when we talk about the food and restaurant industry, what pushes the agenda of those industries is the support of the hip hop industry, the hip hop market. It is worth 40 something billion, 40 plus billion dollars. It has a large market share within the United States eco production, right? It is very much a part of the wheel in how money is produced and reproduced and pushes industries in the United States, but it is not recorded anywhere in history as of yet. And so the hip hop industry is beyond a shadow of a doubt one of the primary industries that is pushing the economics of the United States. And so when we talk about the power that artists have by driving a specific automobile in a music video, by
shouting out a particular brand of clothing by visiting certain cities, right, and posting that information. It is a strong proponent for pushing the industry within the United States. And I just want to talk about, I wanted to mention that today, and really that that really is the primary purpose for me wanting to do the radio show today, is I am looking for an honorable mention, right, for the hip hop industry as the United States records its history and economic fortitude of this particular nation, right? I think the United States, as we talk about the founding decision makers and the founding economists, when they have conversations, we need to hear something about hip hop, because it is $40 billion of the United States eco-production of money, sustainability, financial fortitude. And we need to hear about it more. It is in clothing. It is in food and restaurant. It's a large part of the sporting industry. You cannot attend a sporting event without listening to hip hop music, rap music, right? And then it is also a large part of the alcohol industry. Something that I notice about the shifting in the alcohol industry is that, I think you could say potentially that I drink socially, but not really, right? While I will have an alcoholic drink, I don't necessarily entertain it publicly. I purchase it for the purpose of supporting the venue where I'm at, but not necessarily to drink it. But as I've seen popular artists, brands that I support in the hip hop and rap industry, that I'm always intrigued to try whatever brand that they have. And so I think that it's, I've noticed a lot of talk lately about, I've noticed the language around the talking about alcohol has shifted, right? And while people have always warned against the consumption of alcohol, I think the awareness has heightened. And so it's important that if you drink, right, that you want to drink it responsibly. But I don't know that the recent awareness around alcohol, I'm trying to determine if there is an agenda around it, because so many industry artists now have brands of alcohol. And so I've been trying to notice like what the specific language is and things of that nature around the talking points as it relates to the warnings against alcohol. And I always say do it responsibly. But yet that is another industry that is pushing and leading the economy of the United States. And it is almost fully supported, right, by the hip hop industry in some type of way, right? A lot of the alcohol consumption and alcohol music is it's the driving force around alcohol, the purchase and the sustainability of the industry. And so I'm just like, I've repeated it. I'm looking for hip hop to be recorded in history books. I'm looking for the day that there is a subject matter, right? I've noticed that at the collegiate level or at the higher learning institutional level, that they have begun to open up the doors and have conversations about hip hop. And I'm excited about that. And I hope that it expands to primary education, because as we talk about the, and so I had a conversation with the last radio show, and I talked about the ingenuity and the innovation of the United States and how, what industries have helped the United States to recover, and why the United States always bounces back financially. And unless you've been living under a rock, right, the past 30 years, you have to give credit where credit is due. Hip hop and rap, beyond a shadow of a doubt, will be a large proponent in the economic recovery of the United States of America. So as it relates right now, I think we're $30 trillion in debt. Bear with me one moment. I know we're at the ceiling of our debt. What did I said 30 trillion, oh, sorry. So I exaggerate. We are about $7.7 trillion in debt, right? I just stated that the hip hop industry is worth $40 billion of the United States eco production financially. So you do the math, right? There ought to be programs in schools, at the elementary, level, at every level of education, ought to be pushing the industry of hip hop in some shape, form, or fashion, because it is $40 billion of the United States economic production, right? And so when we talk about the recovery of the United States, when we talk about the intuitiveness of who we are, right, within the United States, our innovation as individuals, we were a thriving economy when we had arts programs and education, right? There is a reason for that. So if you say, look at my age, and let's date it back 30 to 35 years. I played the violin. I participated in theater. I was in plays. I was on the stage. I danced. My age group and the age group before me, we were the two programs that kept us engaged in the education process was arts and sports, right? And so while sports, I understand, is still a primary focus, right? Because it feeds an industry, right? Which is the sports industry. We have missed the mark tremendously for not supporting arts in schools. And so I realized that there have been some grassroots efforts in helping public schools to recover that. I'm looking for charter schools because there is a large percentage of academic institutions now that raise, rear, and educate our children on the charter school side to bring in arts programs, because it is very much part of this United States history and the eco production of careers, sustainable careers, right? At every level, not just at the artist level, but behind the scenes, right? It is important. It is important. And so we are looking to help on a philanthropic level to support charter schools in increasing that program and bringing that type of program back to the educational process and the educational journey. And so it's important. Why is it important? Because it research proves that music, arts programming, that it creates a better learner. It creates a lifetime learner. And now we know, right? Because it's $40 billion of the United States eco production. We know that it's very important, right, to keep innovators and inventors, to keep that that innovative spirit of the United States. We want that to thrive, right? Because it is pushing all of the other industries. And it has a sustainable portion within its own right when we talk about the eco production of the United States. And so on that note, people have been asking me, this is a perfect segue to talk about my art and my two exhibitions that I have. One is specifically the focal point is the literary work that I wrote, the lived research study of Curtis 50 Cent, media mogul Curtis 50 Cent Jackson. And so I have three art pieces. It is an exhibition of its own that feed into that research. And so there were times where you would think that the research, right? You research Curtis 50 Cent Jackson, you think that would be easy, right? But no, there were points within that process that I had writer's block. And so in order to push me out of that space of not knowing what to say next or what to write next or how to articulate it so that it would present a positive blueprint, right, for the business world, I had to stop at some point and stir my creativity through painting. And so I created three pieces. And you can almost experience the range of emotions that I was experiencing while I was writing the literary work by looking at the art. You can literally see what I was feeling while I was attempting to write. The other exhibition is the Black Barbie and Ken exhibition. It is not a takeaway from Mattel, right? Because the thing that, and I think I said this when I first started this exhibition about Black Barbie and Ken, is that, so I'm 40 plus years old. As a young, maturing young lady, when I was playing with Barbies as a youth, Mattel was making Black Barbies in my time period. That was huge because we were still at a point in history that race relations still had some equality and some resistance to it, right? Like I was in high school at a time period where we had a race riot, right? And so for Mattel to be producing Black Barbies when I was a youth, right, still playing with Barbies and Barbie houses, that that says a lot about the Mattel company, which is why I was so disappointed when Toys R Us went out of business. And so we're talking about industries, right? And so while I understand the importance of online shopping, I cannot be intentional enough about encouraging people to get out of the house and go into the store and shop. Get out of the house, go into a retail store, a strip mall, and shop. Why? Because that's where the restaurants are. We want to continue to support those industries as a nation, right? As a world global leader, we want to continue to support restaurants. We want to continue to push the restaurant and food industry as a viable career option. The only way, one of the ways that we can do that is to get out the house and go sit down in a restaurant. One of the ways that we can support intentionally in sitting down and eating in restaurants and supporting the real estate, commercial real estate industry, is to get out the house and go to a shopping mall or to a strip mall and shop, right? While online shopping has its place, human interaction is paramount, right? So that we can, and I'm talking to you as a behavioral scientist right now, right? We're talking about human interaction, how you interact with people respectfully, right? How you shop in the mall to support, you shop to with the purpose of supporting careers, right? And supporting someone's dream and potentially retail management. Those industries are very, very important. And the way that we support those industries is to get out of the house and go to the mall. After you go to the mall, you go sit down and eat at a restaurant, right? Online shopping is important. Face-to-face interaction is very important. I am encouraging everybody, restaurants, retail stores, to be very intentional about cultivating their customer service programs and training their employees on how to treat and interact with their customer base, right? And what does that look like? Sometimes it starts at the university level, but there may be somebody working in the culinary industry, the food and restaurant industry, or working in retail that didn't go to college, right? And so this is, and so I talked prior about how McDonald's really was a pipeline for creating the industries of retail and restaurant management, right? Like they were the launching pad for cultivating professionals that wanted to work in industries that had a customer interface face-to-face, right? McDonald's still to this date is an industry leader in producing the next leadership, the pool of leadership, right? By hiring teenagers to work in McDonald's and individuals who didn't necessarily have the ability to go to college. And so places like McDonald's cultivated and created a pool of professional candidates. That's the word that I'm looking for. Professional candidates to enter into livable wage paying retail and restaurant industry positions, right? And so how do we support those industries? As we create budgets within each individual household for entertainment, right? So I've been a part of the financial industry for a long time. And I'm looking forward to working with you and your family and your children individually. And entertainment has always been a line item on household budgets, right? Since I can remember back when I was 19, 20, 21, to date, entertainment needs to be a line item on your monthly household budget. If you don't have a monthly household budget and don't know how to create a household budget, I will be conducting a free workshop on what that looks like and how to create those budgets and why should you create a household budget, what it entails, what it looks like, what's the importance of it, things of that nature. So anyhow, let me preference this by stating that overall, what I'm talking about today is us as United States citizens, whether you were an immigrant who made it here or if you were born here, it is important for us to support the industries that exist and we start at an educational level. See how that is the butterfly effect? See how I, as a behavioral scientist, how I have those conversations strategically, because they all feed into one another and they all create a solid eco production for why the United States is what it is and has been what it has been and why it's a leading industry, a global leading industry as it relates to the rest of the world and why the United States is too big to fail. When I was doing some research on the top seed cities for entrepreneurship, when I looked at the top five, four of those cities were not in the United States. The one city that was within the United States was New York City, right? And I think it's also too important to understand that as the global market is shifting, New York is, and so while it's always been a focus, the focus is changing around New York. Because while we're doing business globally within and around the United States, and we're expanding our markets beyond U.S. soil into foreign markets, New York is now no longer the most dangerous city, right, to live in, to do business in, and nor is it any longer the most expensive city either. And so that's just part of, I told you I am a plethora of information, right? Because following the economy is my responsibility, and that's why I've been able to help families cultivate wealth and financial patterns, not just for themselves, but for their children throughout 20-something plus years. And I'm looking so forward to meeting and interacting with you and helping you to create a plan. Now, the difference between what I do and what the next insurance agent or retirement planner does is that I have 20 years of real estate experience. I've been in the household of families, watching them struggle, right, to make it economically, and also creating a path for them to sustainability, to thrive. And it's been, can I tell y'all, it has been amazing for me as a journey. And thank you all so much for allowing me to be a part of that essential part of your lives, right? It has been so fulfilling. That's the word that I'm looking for. It has been so fulfilling for me as an individual to watch your families, your children mature and to tap into the financial fortitude that I helped you build to become a sustainable model within your family and within your community. And while I've done that on a national level, it is tremendously fulfilling. And I just want to say thank you for allowing me to be a part of that journey for you. And I'm looking forward to doing more of it. And so you can email me at Elect Leadership Academy. And let's talk about money. Let's talk about money. Let's have those difficult conversations about what it looks like for you to create financial fortitude for yourself and for the next generation of you, right? Let's have those conversations. electleadershipacademy@gmail.com. If you are interested in doing either of those exhibitions, the Black Barbie and Ken exhibition or the Live Research Study of Curtis 50 Cent Jackson, the exhibition that accompanies that particular literary work, email me at electleadershipacademy@gmail.com. I'm excited about placing those exhibitions within your galleries and within your museums. And the reason why is because graffiti art, while it's hip hop, right? That's the art that I do. When people ask me, what is my style of art? I create and paint graffiti art. It is a large part of the hip hop industry. I'm a hip hop baby, right? I was cultivated in hip hop and rap. That's my life. And so my art is something throughout years, people sometimes can see graffiti as an act of protest, right? If you see teenagers painting graffiti on the side of a building or on an interstate highway or on a subway, it is a form of protest. And for me, and I had to explain to an art enthusiast that the Black Barbie and Ken exhibition was not about excluding anyone. It really is an honor, and me paying respect to Mattel for allowing me to see myself in the products that they produced during a time period when being a beautiful Black young girl was not an industry standard, right? I didn't see my first Black supermodel until I was in my late 20s, right? And so the standard for beauty didn't look like me. But Mattel made sure that me, as a young child, seeing the beauty in myself in relation to what the status quo beauty looked like, right? And they didn't do that to be offensive to any group of people or to mainstream people. They did that to encourage innovation, creativity, and the whimsical innovation of a young child, right? Young ladies, such as myself. And it is an honor and a respect for me to pay back to Mattel what they did for me as a young child. And so it's not a dig or a resistance to what anybody else thinks looks like beauty. It is my honor and respect that I'm paying to Mattel to say thank you for allowing me to see the beauty in me, though it wasn't the standard at the time. And kudos to Mattel for that, right? And that's what the Black Barbie and Ken exhibition is about for me, right? Honoring a company that created a platform for individuals such as me, as young as I was, during a time period when Black beauty was not the standard, right? And so I'm hoping, it is my hope, that anybody can appreciate the Black Barbie and Ken exhibition from a point of, it is a form of art. Again, it's graffiti art, and it's representative of two worlds that collided for me. That's the hip hop world, and that is the world of the innocence of childhood, right? Me not even understanding what race relations was at that time, right? Like my first best friend in elementary school was a white little girl, right? Mattel made that possible because there were white Barbies and there were Black Barbies. And so I didn't even understand the resistance or the opposition of race relations. And I went to a magnet elementary school after I left private school. And so it's just a part of my journey, right? It's not a, though graffiti art is a protest, it is not a protest against anything. It is a protest for something. And it is my art, and I'm sensitive about my shit, right? So don't be coming for me about my Black Barbie and Ken exhibition. It is a part of my childhood, thankful to Mattel. All right. And so if you want to contact me about either one of my exhibits, you want to contact me about the business services that I offer in helping you to create sustainable financial futures for your family, I can be reached at electleadershipacademy@gmail.com. Y'all know my number because my number is on the street. And this is a behavioral scientist, Tanola Oliver. Thank you so much for joining me for this edition of the Making of the Mogul radio show and magazine. I will put inside the body of this particular radio message the link to the bakery, if you'd like to support the bakery and order some products from there. In addition to, I will put a link for ordering the literary work Outliers, the lived research case study of media mogul Curtis 50 Cent Jackson. If you would like to sow a seed into the foundation, you can do so on Cash App at $SALTROOM. Until we see each other again, live in the overflow. I'll see you soon. Peace.